Thank you for listening to the American Jewish World Service Weekly Dvar Zedek podcast. I'm Ruth Messenger, president of AJWS. For more information about AJWS work all over the globe, and to find out how you can get involved, please visit our website at www.ajws.org.
This is Parashat Pinchas, and I'm Shira Fisher. In many biblical stories, women are not named. While we know her salty fate, we never learn the name of Lot's wife. And despite her central role in the Joseph story, Potiphar's wife remains nameless. However, five women, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah, are named in Parashat Pinchas and again in the Bible. These sisters, known as the daughters of Tzlofchad, stand out by standing up for what they see as an injustice towards themselves and all women, the biblical law that lets sons inherit land, but not daughters. To their credit, and to his, Moshe takes their concerns seriously and raises the issue with God, who modifies the law to include daughters. The revised law is still not fair or equal, as sisters and aunts are not permitted to inherit, and inheriting women are required to marry within their tribe. But it is a substantial improvement on the original. In much of the world, there has not been significant progress in women's rights since Mahla and her sisters stood up for their inheritance. But this may soon change. In fact, in Half the Sky, their 2009 book on the oppression of women, Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Woodun write, "In the 19th century, the central moral challenge was slavery. In the 20th century, it was the battle against totalitarianism. We believe that in this century, the paramount moral challenge will be the struggle for gender equality around the world." One critical aspect of this struggle that is playing out today is the fight to curb physical violence against women. Abuse of women takes place worldwide, but it is more pervasive in places where women are poor and undereducated, like India. There, a crime against a woman occurs every 3 minutes. A woman is raped every 29 minutes. And a case of cruelty by a husband or relative occurs every 9 minutes. Contemporary Indian daughters of Tzlofchad have been hard at work to change this. Drafts of bills aimed to protect women from violence have been in the works since 1992, and some progress has been made since then. A version of an Indian anti-violence law was proposed in 2001 that, like the ruling in our parasha, was better than no law at all, but it still had various flaws. For example, it only criminalized violence inflicted by husbands. In 2005, the Protection of Women from Domestic Violence Act was passed, improving on the previous versions by including abuse by boyfriends, mothers-in-law, and other actors, and by outlawing violence against women by the husband's family to extract larger dowries. The law also provides abused women with a share of the abuser's property and salary. But despite its good intentions, this legislation has not stopped widespread abuse of women in India, and women are still fighting for their safety. The persistence of this epidemic indicates that laws alone aren't sufficient to stop this deeply ingrained practice. A cultural shift is necessary. Even among women themselves, many of whom believe that violence is a part of their lot in life. Indeed, one survey showed that 56% of Indian women believed wife-beating to be justified in certain circumstances. As women's groups said in 2006 to the BBC, "A bill alone will not help in preventing domestic abuse. What is needed is a change in mindsets." The persistence of violence targeted against women may also stem from a lack of education about the law or lack of effective enforcement by the government. Urvashi Bhutalia, a prominent Indian feminist scholar and historian, writing about the inability of laws to curb rape in India, put it thus: "Laws that relate to violence against women are, in the eyes of the state, best forgotten or not bothered about. Making women's rights a priority in the eyes of the government and in the lives of both India's men and women would go a long way in the struggle to end the culture of violence." In the meantime, many Indian NGOs are tackling this problem on a communal level, working to end violence by helping individual girls in a wide range of ways. One Mumbai organization, Awaz-e-Niswan, helps young women to leave abusive relationships and provides them scholarships to return to school, knowing the important role education can play in avoiding becoming a victim of violence. Ramla, one young woman that AEN has worked with, was married at 14 and in search of a divorce from her abusive husband at 15. The organization helped her achieve the divorce by age 17, taught her skills through its educational and vocational programs, and helped her secure a job. Ramla eventually saved enough money to buy her own house, and she remarried at 30, this time by choice. Those who perpetuate violence against girls like Ramla attempt to relegate women to the margins, taking away their freedom, security, and dignity. But grassroots organizations like AEN help women speak out, help them, like Machla, Tirza, Hogla, Milka, and Noah, make a name for themselves by refusing to be silent in the face of injustice. By knowing their names and retelling their stories, we carry these women's work forward and help pursue its just completion. Whether this means supporting local organizations that advocate for women, or lobbying our own government to make human rights for women and girls a diplomatic priority, we too must stand up and demand a fair and equal share for women.